Hey there, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fans. Welcome to another episode of the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. Tonight we are talking about Season 5, Episode 18, All Roads Lead. We're going to be breaking down the episode, talking about Talbot's tragic sleeper cell mission, May and Daisy's incredible night out, and also, of course, the tragic fate of Ruby and Alex von Strucker. Guys, there's a lot to dig into in this episode. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion. AfterBuzz TV, and now, let the buzz begin!
So, we were talking about it before we went live. How many Hydra people are even left, man?
I mean, you cut one head off, two should grow back.
Theoretically!
Yeah. That's kind of what happens with the other Zach, who keeps coming back, even though I battle him each and every week to the death.
I've died more times than I've lived now.
How do you think there's so many of us on this network?
Yeah.
And we're not even on. We're on other shows at the same time. It's just we're going by Steve or Mark.
Guys, yeah, are we all just a series of LMDs? Like that?
Statistics proves that that's likely.
I'm real.
I think it's an annihilation scenario. Spoilers for Annihilation.
Anyway. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fans, welcome back to the after show. Let's not waste any time. Let me go ahead and introduce my fantastic panel. To my left, possibly an LMD, but Jesse Klein.
Hey, it's great to be back or here for the first time. I'm really excited to talk about S.H.I.E.L.D.
And to his left, Tehran.
The other Zach is back. Megan Jr. is not happy. It is okay. I will survive. I was hoping we would all break into song, but that didn't happen.
No. Oh, Megan Jr., the song?
Actually, we've sort of already done I Will Survive before. That was before you were
that
on
did
the
happen.
Show.
There has never been a time before I was on the show.
Four seasons.
Well, and to Megan Jr.'s left, Zach Wilson.
Hey, guys. I'm feeling very teased. And not just by Tehran, but also by this show. I don't know how I feel about it.
We're going to dig into that. Don't worry. And I'm Megan Salinas. Guys, we are going to be keeping an eye on the hashtag ABTVMarvel for all of you guys following along on Twitter. Zach has got you guys covered on the live chat for all of you
guys
watching live on YouTube. So, yeah, let's go ahead and dig into it. Guys, what were your initial thoughts on this week's episode? Jesse, let's start with you. It's been a bit since we've seen you. How are you?
Yeah. I'm doing good. I liked this episode. I liked all the Manchurian Candidate bits with Talbot. I thought that was really cool. It's been a while since we've seen some just classic Hydra stuff. So, like, seeing, like, real spy kind of things was a fun throwback to season one and two.
It's weird that a spy show is, we're like, oh, yeah, remember that these are spies?
Yeah.
Yeah. But it does feel good. It feels like season two and, like, early three, like, the height of the which I maintain are, I think, the strongest whole seasons or two,
yeah.
Or two and three.
Yeah, so I really enjoyed all that. And, you know, getting to see Daisy and May fight is always fun.
Oh, like, my gosh. I definitely was enjoying that aspect of the episode.
Yeah.
Tehran, what were your initial thoughts?
Well, first of all, I disagree with Zach. I think seasons two and three are okay, but seasons four and five, which I'm part of the panel, are the best. And
Tehran, are you talking about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or are you talking about our show?
They are one and the same.
Yes.
So, I would like to express that I feel that in this episode, there wasn't enough killing, and that killing would have solved a lot of problems. I feel that Ruby, sure, bye. I would have also had to get rid of Hale. Hale had to go. Talbot would have been done. I would have just went through the line. That's just my problem-solving brain of logic.
Tehran's leaving a negative Yelp review. He's like, two stars, not nearly enough murder.
Guys, that's how I felt.
Tehran said he would have killed Quake, too.
Yeah. Daisy,
he did.
What's up with that, Tehran?
Tehran did say
justify
that.
Yourself.
If I can't have her, nobody
Daisy.
Can.
Okay, so it is.
Did I say that out loud? Amen. To save the world.
Zach, I know that this episode is both exciting and also frustrating for you. So do you want to express
In terms of the Graviton Watch 2018, this is...
Shut the clock down.
Yeah, this episode made me think more than anything, that's not happening.
Mm.
But
that seems so mean.
They're building something interesting here in terms of like how this is all going to work. I'm very intrigued how this all... all plays into Infinity War in a week. The comments have been like that it's not that it's going to be affected by it, but not really driven by it. Which when you have a world ending thing with like an alien confederacy, that's the puzzle piece I'm trying to figure out watching this episode. Is like we're 1 week out from Infinity War. The show maybe might be structured that we're 2 weeks out because of the change of movie release date. I don't know how that affected S.H.I.E.L.D. But
yeah, that either was probably a little too late for them to do anything about.
But that issue is coming up, like that, like them having to deal with it is coming up. We know that they're going to address it, and I'm just looking at this like destruction of the world.
Well,
how is that going to play with our team?
If they save everything, then nothing ever happens, and you just continue right back on the timeline as if nothing ever happened.
But Infinity War is going to be a worldwide destruction event.
Yeah, there's
and so like that has to get addressed in S.H.I.E.L.D. as well,
and with the Confederacy like on our backs with like Hale jumping up to the ship, like they're on their way, and the it's the fact that they keep leaning into Destroyer of Worlds, which is one of Thanos's nicknames, which I know that they're like saying that it's what Hydra was coming up with, but that feels too heavy of a coincidence to not be somehow. Like part of this whole thing.
Sure.
We have Thanos Destroyer of Worlds like coming in a week. We keep talking about Destroyer of Worlds and we think it's like these two like
enhanced human individuals.
Yeah, which granted, Quake is totally OP when you get down to it.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
For us who don't know what things like OP mean,
overpowered.
Oh.
Like Quake
we just use acronyms and no one discusses this?
Not to be confused with OTP, which stands for One True Pair.
One True Pair. Or OPP, which is other...
the other P, it's not so simple.
It's not that simple. True. Yeah. I just don't like confusing my P's. That's all I'm saying.
That's fair. But no, Zach, you bring up a good point in terms of how this ties into Infinity War, if it's not... Because it seems like that's kind of... Worldwide destruction event is something you sort of need to address.
And to clarify for the chat, the movies are not going to refer to the show. The writers and producers and directors on Infinity War don't give a damn what's happening on S.H.I.E.L.D.
I don't think
but
they know
S.H.I.E.L.D. has
exists.
To be. you mean that thing we got rid of, like in Winter Soldier? Technically, it came back for like a minute in Age of Ultron.
It's definitely
really
been speculated that television and film, those separate departments at Marvel don't necessarily get along or like each other at all.
I mean, Perlmutter and Feige, the respective heads of TV and film, like actively dislike each other.
Yeah.
But like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. will react to the movies. It's just, so now it's a question, just a question of like, since they know what's going to happen on that level, what are they going to do on this level?
Yeah.
Yes. Whatever it's going to be, I can't really contain my excitement for Infinity War. I know that's going to be a lot of fun. And if you guys want to have fun and learn and grow in some of your areas of life, boy, have we got a podcast for you.
We have our own Infinity War podcast for you. Conversations with Maria Menounos, which is a podcast I listen to each and every week, is hosted by our favorite AfterBuzz TV founder and drops every Friday on iTunes. And yes, we love Kevin, but we love some Maria, and especially Conversations with Maria Menounos features celebrity and influencer interviews, along with secrets and tips on how to be better in all aspects of life, under the condition that life will continue after the Infinity War. So,
here's
from health and wellness to career, relationships, finances, and more, let our Maria be the big sister you've always wanted. Just go to iTunes and subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos, and my favorite part is, it's free! Be sure to rate and comment, and when you do, let Maria know it was us.
Specifically the Taran, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Specifically
podcast.
Taran, who sent you there. Conversations with Maria Menounos, podcast edition. Check it out.
Yeah, no joke, guys. It means a lot that Maria and Kevin have given us a platform to talk about this show each and every week. It's been an absolute pleasure. And so it means a lot when you guys support the people who support us in return. So thank you guys so much for checking that out. Hope you guys enjoy it. So let's go ahead and dive into it. You were talking about Talbot's sleeper cell mission, his Manchurian candidate thing. And I have to agree with you. It broke my heart. But I also really love the brainwashing sort of tropes. It's both entertaining and heart-wrenching at the same time.
It was a fun kind of throwback. I was like, okay, fine. Like, we got some Cold War stuff going on. We've got some fun Manchurian candidate throwbacks. We've got just a throwback to the brainwashing program that we've seen Hydra that they have. Like, that was really fun. And seeing Talbot kind of talk himself through it as he's, like, going and getting the gun. And then going, he's like, complete the mission. Complete the mission. And, like, doing all that kind of compliance.
Messing with the feeds. Yeah. And then when he ended up in Robin's room, I think, Zach, you brought it up last week. Like, maybe he kills Robin's mom.
That was the chat, to give credit. Like, the chat was the one that first gave that one. And they were dead on. Well, she didn't die, but like they were very, very close.
Yeah, that's exactly where I thought it was going, and it actually turned out to be quite a bit of a surprise that she lived through it. And that
we don't know if she actually lives. I mean, she's breathing.
She's breathing.
She got hit, and we never see her get conscious.
She doesn't get back up.
She doesn't regain consciousness.
All he did was make her pass out.
That's
like,
all it takes. I mean, you don't know what happens.
It's possible. That would be a weird way for her to die on a show like this.
No, but it definitely puts her in a position of vulnerability.
Yeah.
And we know we're not done with things yet.
I mean, we know that Robin's mom is a Chekhov's death. We know she's going to die because May has to raise Robin afterwards. Like, that's what we found out in the future. So.
Yeah, and that's something that Robin's mom has sort of accepted.
Unless, I could see, because we're dealing with, changing the future right now.
That's in the test that Robin's mom makes it?
I mean, we don't know if the future's changed.
Well, I'm saying we're dealing with it. Like, whether or not it's going to we're dealing with the question of, is it going to happen or not?
Yeah.
So I could see maybe Robin gives us some, answers on how exactly her mom dies, and then it becomes May preventing that as part of changing the timeline.
Sure.
And May basically being like, knowing that this would, in a different future, be her child.
Mm-hmm.
And actively changing things so that doesn't happen, which is an interesting, like, good and like complicated scenario for her to have to deal with.
For sure. I feel like they've ran through these scenarios a billion times before. Like, this is the billionth time this timeline has happened, and every time they try and change it and it doesn't work or whatever.
Yeah,
so.
But it's the same trap of like, but we know the Earth isn't going to blow up at the hands of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Or it's the third time. We don't know.
Or it could be just number three.
It could be the third time because we know it has happened at least one time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we've come back. The second time
Yo-Yo wouldn't have been into the future.
Exactly. So we know it's happened at least
twice. We know that it's happened at least three times because that Yo-Yo's already had that conversation and on and on and on and on it goes.
Because that Yo-Yo already had the conversation with herself.
Do you guys watch Rick and Morty, right?
Yeah.
I kind of, like, at some point during
Agents of
S.H.I.E.L.D.
By you guys,
Agents
you meant the Zacks, right? Because
why aren't we the Jessies?
Okay.
You were out when we picked the band name.
Okay, fine. I'll get my bass.
But there's an episode of Rick and Morty where they start messing with the time stream, and it's like the only time they ever touch time travel stuff. But basically, they split the screen into a bunch of different parallel realities that are all going on at once, and they all have like idiosyncratic little tiny differences.
Yeah.
And I kind of would love a quick shot in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to just see how many iterations of the loop have
Crisis
happened.
On Infinite Shields.
Yeah, a little bit, right?
I would watch that, a bunch of alternate universe shields.
Yeah, sure.
Not the same time loop thing, but like another thing where we cross into like the version of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. where like, I don't know, like a Peggy Carter still running the team or another where like they could afford to get Chris Evans.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That'd be a great universe.
The one where Ghost Rider's a permanent member. Yay.
Yes, that one too. And where Graviton has happened.
Okay. Okay. So Talbot's not dead?
No.
What did they use? You said it was an icer.
It was just from like the first seasons, like they established that like the S.H.I.E.L.D. agents have these rounds that they can shoot out of their guns that basically paralyze you.
It's the S.H.I.E.L.D. equivalent of set phasers to stun.
Yeah. And so they always make like a high pitched noise when they shoot him, and there's like a blue flash.
Yeah, when you see the blue,
that's what happens.
So he's stunned. They're very magical little devices because they knock you out like that.
Yeah.
I was for a moment I thought they were gonna have him shoot himself, and like just because this. That would be extremely dark, but this is also the same show that crushes someone's head on screen.
Oh, boy, that was dark.
Like, and again, they ripped out a guy's spine last season. Like, this is not a show that's afraid to go dark. So, for a moment, I legitimately thought they were going to kill off Talbot that way.
To be fair, we ripped out the spine in the 10 o'clock slot.
That's very true.
That was there. Like, we're at 10 o'clock now!
We do what we want.
Yeah,
but they did crush a skull.
Yeah, they did.
And we saw the pool of blood.
They did. Should we go ahead and transition over to that?
I have questions about Talbot. So, what exactly was Talbot's mission to take Robin?
It seems like it was to apprehend Hale. Robin and take her to Hale.
For what purpose?
Well, Robin can see the future, so anyone who has access to someone who can see the future has a leg up. And Hale is playing 3D chess right now, so she's trying to get as many assets as she can.
Yeah, she's like, I'm dealing with aliens, I'm dealing with superpowered beings that are also kind of borderline insane right now. I'm dealing with my enhanced daughter who's going through her rebellious stage. Hale's trying to stay one step ahead of everybody and kind of failing at it.
So what does Hale want?
To prevent the alien apocalypse, at least at
then
first.
Then why is she the one who keeps going and communicating with the aliens? So, see, here's my concern with what is Hale's actual desire? Because does she... sometimes she's this horrible person. Other times she's this wonderful, caring person who wants to save the world. Sometimes she loves her daughter. Other times she's, like, basically sacrificing her daughter. When you're saying, I'm creating a daughter who's going to be a living weapon, that comes along with the territory. So what exactly does Hale... General Hale won.
So, real quick, I'll answer your question with another question. Do you view her as being a complex character or a character that's just a mess of inconsistencies?
I view her as a nuisance who's still alive and I would have killed her. So, what I'm saying is...
You wouldn't be asking any of these questions.
None of these questions. I would have just had her... When I killed Ruby as Yo-Yo, I would have also just been like... Loosen,
I think,
and come right back
and killed Daisy.
And I would have.
You said before you would have killed. You would have killed.
I'm trying
Raby,
to prevent. I'm trying to prevent the end of the world, and that's a whole different scenario. The trolley lever scenario, is that what you guys were throwing out there? The term
You threw it out last week. Yeah.
Okay, so that's the concept. Is would I? This is to prevent the overall. Death of the world. I'm not, my primary mission isn't to save members of my team. My primary mission is to always do what's best for the Earth at any given time. So, but I need to understand Hale's personal motivations for what she does. Because it seems that it always changes.
I think, to your point, I feel like for a lot of her life she was on a set track. And then when the rest of Hydra sort of went away or went up in smoke, and she and her team were basically all that were left, I feel like she thought that she could turn what was left of Hydra into something that it hadn't been in the past, and she was going about that using typical Hydra tactics. But as time went on, you know, those don't work really anymore, especially when S.H.I.E.L.D. is there thwarting you at every opportunity. So I don't know. Part of me thinks that, yeah, she was trying to clean up after Hydra's messes, after basically Hydra ran her life for X amount of years. But then there's another part of me that's like, I don't know. It's hard to put a pin in what she wants.
I mean, if you want to know what Hydra wants, they want to save the world. That is what
their version.
Yeah, well, that's Hydra's overall goal is to save the world by eliminating choice. That is how Hydra exists. Is if they could just control everyone, then there would be no violence. There would be no death. Unnecessarily
makes sense to me. My thing is actually makes sense. Get it? I got it. No. My problem is Hale. Okay, Hale. Who's continuing on this mission, but seems to be counterproductive to what she actually wants. she doesn't want the destruction of the world. Not up till the point where Ruby dies. Why did no one communicate to her, hey, Hale, this is what is going to happen?
I mean,
they did, and she didn't believe them.
She didn't believe them, yeah.
And now, again, to the credit of the character and the writing, it's not that she's purposely trying to, like... purposely trying to like sabotage herself. It's more like she had a plan, and that plan has some roadblocks in it. Like, I don't think she anticipated the gravitonium having consciousnesses within it. That definitely that changes her perspective, and that changes things. And when her daughter goes AWOL, her priorities shift from, oh, you know, we got to take care of the alien stuff, too. I need to take care of the immediate problem of my daughter doing something incredibly reckless.
Interesting. Yep. Which is more rhetoric to why we should have killed both of them, which is where I'm getting at. Like, why were they just both not killed?
Because they needed to progress whatever plot they had going on.
Okay.
Because, yeah, I agree that these are special agents and their job is to protect the Earth.
And she's, it's not like Hale was like a concerned mom. She was General Hale of Hydra.
Yeah.
And then for a minute turn, and they were so polite and nice to her. I mean, after all the things she's done, by the way, Yo-Yo no longer has arms. I just want to throw that part out. Her arms were cut off by the daughter of this person under her orders.
Yeah, I agree. I mean,
at some point, and they were so respectful. I won't hurt Ruby unless I have to. You know what? How about, yeah, I'm going to hurt Ruby. And guess what? Guess what, B-word? Well, you're lucky you're not getting hurt as we speak.
It's different when the person is cooperating with you.
Oh.
I mean, Hale agreed to help them. So it's like, okay, you're cooperating.
It's hard to look like what is clearly a concerned mother in the face and be like, no, I'm totally going to kill your child. you sympathize with them in that moment, even while they are like... monster willing to kill and maim your friends to achieve their ends. So I can see why they want to help Hale, and our team are not killers.
At the end of the day, they are trying.
They weren't.
As they kill everyone but the people they need to kill.
Well,
they will kill random people who come in and they'll just chop them.
They're trying to accomplish the mission, any given mission that they're on, I assume, the shield way of with minimal loss of life.
Are they? Because then the one decision they do make is to leave Daisy, the destroyer of worlds, as far as we know, with the other person who's the destroyer of worlds, unsupervised. They just leave.
That's like, true. Yo-Yo was the only one that put that together. Yeah. And she's like, really, guys?
You're going to leave these two people in a room after we know that something is going to happen?
One of the two of them is going to blow up the Earth. Let's get them together.
Yeah, put them together and let them hang out.
I think
the thing is that no one really believes it. That Daisy's going to destroy the world. No one believes that except for Yo-Yo. And so I think that is an issue that like we are having difficulty as the story progresses, because we've seen characters very sure that Daisy is going to destroy the world. So we're like, why aren't we treating it like that? And the reason why they're not killing a sad mom is because the writers want the characters to be likable. And like, if Daisy was like, no, I'm going to kill your kid.
Not Daisy. Yo-Yo. And Yo-Yo's not very likable. Let's be real.
I love Yo-Yo.
I wouldn't say... Okay, so if you're ranking Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in order of who you like from least to most... Or from most to least, you're saying Yo-Yo's at the top of that list?
I think Yo-Yo is a fascinating character. I think they've done a lot of great work with that character.
100%.
Like, she's not necessarily like my favorite one. Like, we've also spent a lot less time with her than we have with Daisy. But I think that what they've done over the course of like... Because she's really only been around for like one season. A little longer, technically. But she barely was on the show when she first got here. So I think what they've managed to achieve with character and the depth that they've given her in about a year is really, really strong.
I feel the same about me. But here's my thing. So, and also, does Graventonium, it's just an element, right? Like this new element. Does it have a form of consciousness? Because it kind of seems to know what it wants. And I'm not talking about the lives that it's intaken. I'm talking about the fact that it even wanted to take those two people's consciousness within its own and not other people's. So when they open the Graventonium thing, it immediately goes for...
I kind of assume that's
And what is the Gravitonium's agenda?
I'm trying to remember from Agent Carter when they were dealing with Gravitonium, like what...
Whether or not it sort of had a mind of its own.
Yeah.
God, I don't remember. I remember that that happened, but yeah. I don't remember that arc at all.
I know.
It's been a while.
I don't think it behaved like that.
Okay.
It wasn't... Because Franklin Hall, like, literally fell into it. It wasn't like it intentionally swallowed him. That was like, it was sucking things in, and he got...
He happened to him.
But then it kind of stopped. So my thing is, you're right, but what if that's what its intent was? Because who's the other person, Michael?
Ian Quinn.
It went after Ian Quinn.
That's because Franklin Hall hated him. So I don't think the Gravitonium itself has a consciousness. I think it's just the collective minds of these two individuals now at war with one another.
It's like Hall was absorbed by the Gravitonium, and whatever it is about its properties allowed his consciousness to live on within the element, and then like him not knowing how that reaction happened when he thought he was going to kill Ian Quinn, he actually absorbed him, and now it's the two of them battling it out in one mind.
And we see that with Creel, like he only had minor contact with it, and it's literally driving him insane.
It's sort of like a reluctant version of, if you guys watch Legends of Tomorrow, Firestorm.
The one who's the doctor and the black guy.
Yeah, it's like that, but like if it was reluctant, like if you couldn't get out of it. So there's two minds running around inside this, for lack of a better term, body, and they're fighting for supremacy, but they can't possibly get away or overtake the other.
And they can be divided, because like the consciousness is in the Gravitonium itself. But at one point, it's in the Gravitonium, it's in Ruby, and it's in Creel.
I'm really curious if that's that they are all, like, psychically connected.
Mm.
Like, or if it's that the consciousness split and now there's multiple versions of it.
Maybe that's what the Gravitonium wants, so to speak. It wants...
See, I want to know what its agenda is, because it seems to have its own form of agenda, even if it's in the form of Franklin Hall's agenda, and that seems something that could play out. And while we were talking about, like, S.H.I.E.L.D. agents not being killers, can you guys just remind me, since I wasn't here, how did Ward die?
Are we talking Ward or are we talking Hive Ward? Because Ward got his rib cage crushed by Coulson's robot hand, but Hive was blown up in space.
With Lincoln.
Okay.
Technically that wasn't Ward, it was Hive utilizing Ward's body.
Yep.
So, and did Coulson know that when he was killing Ward?
Framework Ward died when the entire universe got deleted.
Yeah, when they deleted all of them.
You know who I like? I like Ward. What happened to Ward?
He's dead now.
Okay. Is he?
He's died three times.
We've said
yes.
this before.
That's true.
He's died many times.
It's still a Marvel show. Like,
the agents are killers. Like, that's the problem that we're having, is that they are killers, but only when it's convenient to the plot. Because a lot of times they're not killers and it doesn't make sense, which I think is the problem you're having, where, like, May should be like a trained sniper who just kills people and gets rid of them. But it's now she's been written to have all of those regrets from when she was the cavalry. And she doesn't
want... And she had to kill a little girl.
She had to kill a little girl. So it's a more complicated
thing. Why'd she have to kill that little girl?
Because
the little girl was crazy.
To save the world. That's all I just
want. Not to save a world. Just to save
just to
some
save
people.
A handful of
not
people.
Not even
yes.
the world. Just a couple people.
Yeah.
So to save the world...
Well, many of them were also S.H.I.E.L.D. agents. And not to mention, if she didn't kill the little girl... There was also a little bit of self-defense there, too.
Yeah, sure. But they are killers, but they're killers who try not to kill, and it's sometimes convenient when they try not to kill. And this is, they need the plot to progress, so they need to have General Hale contact the aliens and have them come down and invade Earth. And so that's why Hale didn't get her neck slit as well.
And also, why did Fitz and Simmons not sabotage the chamber?
Because every time they did, Ruby threatened them.
They tried to.
Yeah.
And Strucker knew enough about how it worked that he could spot when they had changed something.
So he would just know, but he didn't know how to do it.
We saw him catch them once. Yeah, so I think that was basically like, we tried to do it, but like they caught on. Yeah, so we're not going to get away with that.
Fitz and Simmons basically admitted it. They're like, if I have to choose between you and the world, I choose you. Sorry, rest
Which
of the world.
Which is really romantic, but...
but really inconvenient for the rest of us.
Screw you guys. Super- F you, Fitzsimmons.
Super inconvenient for the rest of us.
Did you guys... I really like that story. I thought it was interesting. There was a really interesting thing where... When Ruby released Simmons, she reached over and touched Fitz on the face, and then Strucker came in, and Ruby went and did the exact same move to Strucker, where it was like she was like learning, like, oh, this is how people interact with each other.
This is how couples act.
This is affection. Yeah. And then she did the same thing when she crushed his damn head.
Oh, and she's like, oops.
She tried to do the same thing and then was like,
Oh, shoot.
That actually, I did have a theory on gravitonium. If we do believe that the element has a motivation going forward, it could be the ultimate singularity as like what its goal is
just
and
to
why
move
it's going
to
absorb
everything.
To crush everything into a single. Like being,
yeah.
I mean, if we're talking about gravity in a physical form,
sure.
So it's sucking in everything like a black hole.
That kind of sounds like the ultimate Hydra plan. Yeah. Of like, hey, that'll eliminate war and suffering and all sorts of other things.
I mean, just to be fair though, the more you talk about Hydra, the more I actually kind of agree.
Well, but before we get too much into that, I want to talk to you guys really quickly about iTunes. Zach, if you could do me a favor and pull up the iTunes.
I already got it.
Good man.
Oh, I was about to try to really weird transition into it. I'm glad you did it first.
But anyway, we want to say thank you to everybody who's gone to iTunes to rate, subscribe, and leave a comment. We love hearing from you. It is the best way to let our aforementioned producers know that you guys like the show that we're putting on. And if you guys do leave a comment, we might even give you a shout out on the show.
Yes, we will. Also, I want to say that we're only 8 ratings away from 700.
Jesus.
So help us, please. Get there. It takes just a few seconds of your time. Go on to iTunes. Hit us with a rating and a review if you can. Really, you just have to write in a quick little thing. It helps people find the show. Helps make this more visible to people who are searching for it so they can find it and enjoy it. Anyway, I want to give a shout out to Weakness, which is spelled with a bunch of numbers, but I can see what it spells because I speak Leet. But says, great podcast. I've been listening for a while now. I came for the voice of doom. Yeah. And ended up enjoying the rest of the panel as well. Everyone has great chemistry, and Tehran is super funny. One thing I wanted to point out, I may be wrong, but I'm pretty sure Talbot doesn't have PTSD. His injury seems to have been damaged the prefrontal cortex or the frontal cortex.
Interesting.
But that region of the brain is responsible for impulse control, which is why his behavior is erratic with his family as well.
I mean, he was shot in the head, so that actually checks out.
And then they say, that's all I wanted to say. Keep up the good work. I have to go. I have to go. I have a fight. Da, 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 da.
To the death. Who?
Thank you.
Fighting to the death. We don't want that because then that's one less person listening
also,
to our
show. Also, if your name is Weakness, probably don't fight.
We're concerned about you. Don't
Unless
do that.
It's like you take on that name so that your enemies know that.
Or it doesn't mean his weakness. He's like, I am your weakness.
Yeah.
Or his weakness is that he fights too much.
weakness for death. Yeah. I don't even know what that means, but I'm scared now.
You've beaten me in a logic puzzle.
But that is a really good point about Talbot. Like, I think you're absolutely right. Like, this is a physical brain damage. Like, he is dealing with physical brain damage, not just PTSD. Well, I'm sure there's a little bit of that too when you get shot in the face by a friend, but he's reprogrammed as well.
He was shot in the head and then endured months of torture and brainwashing.
Well, he was brain damaged first. Like, you saw that when he was in the hospital. So he was shot. He had brain damage. And then he got subjected to torture on top of it.
And
Talbot's not having a good couple months.
Yeah, and the Whitehall brainwashing method, which, as we saw with Agent 33, it's brutal. So, poor Talbot.
Can we talk about Deke?
Absolutely, because one of the great things about this episode, you brought it up, May and Daisy, while they're out kicking ass, Coulson and Mac are basically told to like stay put at the base so that Mac can go ahead and get the anti-gravity stuff ready for the Zephyr, and Coulson can quarterback, but really they're like, no, you stay here. You stay here. So what are they to do but give Deke some advice on love?
The actor who's playing Deke this episode murdered it. He was really, really good.
Yeah. Oh, he's so great. He's so, like, adorable, but, like, genuine.
Yeah, it's hard to remember that he was, like, supposed to be, like, space like, bad guy sort of for like, a while.
Sort of like a Han Solo-esque yeah. character.
At the beginning of the season, he was not Star-Lord.
Yeah.
And now he is complete, like, just like, well, we should probably make sure Daisy's okay, right? Right,
guys? They're like, oh my gosh, you have it so bad. And he's like a child because they're like, dude, you like Daisy? And he's like,
yeah, those.
No, she's got like cooties and stuff. Like what?
And he immediately made that transition of denying that he liked Daisy. It's like, so how do I get her to like me? Like almost immediately, like as soon as they're like, no, you said that you liked her when you were hopped up on painkillers. He immediately made that transition, and now we're getting Daisy lemons.
As the person on the panel who can most relate to Deke. A person who's...
In that you came from the future?
Not only did I come from the future,
in that you drink a lot of Zima?
Zima is delicious, though I've never partaken of this beverage. If I drink alcohol, I've always pictured said I would yourself. Drink Zima. You think I'm kidding? I'm not. Zima just looks like it would taste really good.
So you were talking about how you can relate to Deke.
Deke, not only because I understand what it's like to be secretly brilliant while your peers don't understand, I also feel that his love for Daisy is very pure. It's actually in a way, it's sad because he's lost everything he's known, by the way, and people aren't giving him enough credit for adjusting. He has lost everything, the way his world even works, let alone his world that he lived in. Every single person that he's ever actually known is gone. And he's latched on to the one person who he thinks is his nemesis in every way, because in his mind, she destroys the world. And he's latched onto it. It's actually a very psychological, Beauty and the Beast-esque thing.
His crush on her is extremely endearing. It's very reminiscent. For me, it's very reminiscent of, like, middle school crushes, which kind of makes sense because, he grew up in... I would say... I don't want to say he's, like, emotionally stunted, but he grew up in a kill-or-be-killed sort of world.
Sure, a world where love got you killed.
Mm. Often it did, yeah.
Because they used people's weaknesses against them, as we saw when the girl, homegirl, got killed.
So
just because of her connection to someone.
So, yeah, he probably didn't have a whole lot of crushes when he was running around trying to survive on the lighthouse.
You're saying Deke didn't lay many lemons?
Well, he knew about the custom, yeah. So I don't know.
He probably
know.
Did it as a teenager, and then he grew out of it. He's like, I can't have any attachments.
Whatever.
I gotta be a badass spaceman now.
I got a bag full of lemons for myself.
Which, can we talk
also,
about that?
Why lemons?
I have a theory. Yeah. My theory was that because everybody's so malnourished on the lighthouse that it's a good way to prevent scurvy.
Also, I mean,
scurvy's not fun. No fun with scurvy.
Nope.
Someone in my college got scurvy. Like in the dormitory.
Where did you go to school? On Pirates of the Caribbean? Like where?
Yep. I went to a pirate school. This was in the turn of the century.
Eat one lemon or lime ever.
Yeah. The doctor was really impressed with them. But I think it is one of those things, and also like because it's a remnant of Earth. Like, it'd be a big symbol to give someone a lemon.
Well, yeah, he made a point that you had to save up a lot of money in order to buy... I imagine that fruit, just in and of itself, comes in short supplies when you're living on a space station. I think probably somebody just arbitrarily picked lemon because they were like, well, what do you have in the inventory today? Lemon's cool.
That's Finch does point out that there's a lemon tree in Cassius's
that's apartment. Right. Oh, snap!
What?
Cassius had a lemon tree.
Oh, that's a great so detail. He's,
I don't know what that like. I don't know what that implies.
He's
really.
Running the love economy.
Maybe he was the one that planted. He's like, I can sell more lemons.
Yeah.
I love when the
Maybe
people watching come out with these facts.
Love.
Thank you guys so much.
The chat wants to know one specific thing, though. Is Teron wearing a bathrobe?
Teron always wears a bathrobe.
When is he not wearing a bathrobe?
I don't know. I think we have some new listeners, in which case, welcome.
Welcome.
Yes, that is yes.
That is absolutely a bathrobe. I think it was weird the one time you didn't wear a bathrobe. I think that happened maybe once.
Zach didn't recognize you.
I didn't recognize me.
That actually did happen. I did not think it was Teron when he didn't wear a bathrobe. But I actually want to ask the chat now, and while I'm asking you guys as well, do we ship Deke and Daisy? Like, do we want them? We know Deke wants it. Do we want them to end up together?
The problem is I like Deke, so I don't I don't ship it because I don't want him to die a horrible death like every other guy Daisy has dated.
Robbie was lucky to walk out when he did.
Yeah. I'm willing to die, Daisy. I'm willing to die a horrible death.
Since the guy who would have murdered her, no.
For the benefit of the world. Here's the thing. Would Daisy kill Deke if it meant saving the world? Yeah, I think she
Absolutely.
Would. Absolutely. I do think we have to address that last week, the chat, we asked, should Coulson and May kiss? And most people said no kiss.
I thought it was pretty even split.
I felt that most people said no kiss. And so
pretty split.
I feel like you're skewing the results. You're cherry picking a little bit.
And this week, I want to make sure that the chat goes below in the comments. And do we want DK? What are we going to call them together? Anybody feeling DK? I like DK.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to up the ante one step further. I'm going to post, like, right before we get off the air. I'm going to post a Twitter poll, and we're going to settle this mathematically.
Thank you, Zach.
So if you go to my Twitter, at that Zach Wilson, you'll find a poll. But we got to come up with a ship name for them.
Dakey. Daisy Deke.
I like Dakey.
All right, Dakey.
Queek.
Dake.
Queek.
We're going with Queek. We're going with Queek
and Deke.
We're going with Queek.
I think Dakey sounds less weird, but
I like Queek now.
But Queek is pretty funny.
Queek.
Q-U-E-E. So yeah, Zach,
I'll just put both in there.
Zach is putting that up on Twitter right now. Guys, go ahead and go. Are you doing that from the ABTV Marvel?
No, I'm just doing it for mine.
All right, so go to Zach's Twitter.
I'm not logged into the ABTV Marvel right now.
Go to Zach's Twitter. We'll retweet it. Go to Zach's Twitter, and guys, let us know what you think. Speaking of May and Coulson, though, we had a tiny moment with them in this episode, too, where she just totally blew him off again. She's like, I said what I had to say. Bye. Yeah. And both Coulson and Mac admit that they are not the people that Deke should be getting relationship advice from.
Yeah.
Because Mac was, like, left locked in a cell the last time he saw Yo-Yo, and then Coulson, he apparently, in his own words, has difficulty expressing his emotions and letting other people take care of him.
Just ask the cello player.
Yep. It's been a long time since we've seen her.
And he kind of still thinks they're dating, which is kind of weird. That's the way that plays out. But I think that Mac and Coulson are the perfect people to ask. Because they're the only people there. There's no one else. Who is he going to ask? Like, who else was Deke going to talk to?
Grandma and Grandpa are sort of AWOL at the moment.
Yeah.
There's no one else there. Like, we keep forgetting that Deke doesn't have a choice of friends.
He doesn't know
anyone.
He's
the only people that he knows.
He can ask Daisy.
All right, I'm going to leave this poll up for 3 days. Go vote.
Fantastic. I kind of ship it, but the thing is that Daisy's 100% uninterested. And so even though I think Deke is very endearing in his crush on her, she's not having any of it right now.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah, everybody's like, no, she hates you.
but that's the thing. I feel like there's a thin line. I think there is a she's hating him, like pushing him away because she secretly kind of likes
him. Trying to say that there's something sweet and almost kind?
I'll tell you why. There are several times that she has shown some type of compassion or just made sure that Deke was okay. Several sporadic times.
I think it does tie into your middle school crush comparison where, like, you're mean to the person you have a crush on.
It could be that she has some feelings for him and that she's just trying to push him away because something terrible has happened to every guy.
Does Daisy know about his parentage yet?
I don't think so.
I don't think we've seen her find out. I feel like when she finds that out, like, it'll rewrite it a little bit. I can't tell in which direction because, like, there's a part of me that's like, that I feel like she'd go, like, my best friend's made a cute guy? Like, that's awesome. At the same time, she's like, that's like family.
Daisy becomes a Fritz Simmons, guys.
We talked about this, but we figured out that, like, because his name is Deke Shaw. So he would have to accept, they would have to just like decide that like retroactively they're going to take on that name.
I will say that like, I don't know personally if I was chit-chatting with somebody that I thought was really cute and then I found out they were the grandkid of a friend of, like, say this is like 30 years in the future and I found out they were the grandkid of a couple of my friends, I'd probably go, well, it was nice meeting you, young man. Goodbye.
Depends on which friends.
Well, anyway. Also, we don't know if Deke is going to continue to exist if they save the world. We don't know if one where the timeline where you're safe because you tagged your it back in the timeline.
The second she admits her feelings for him, that's what breaks the loop.
That's the only thing.
And then he fades away. He's back playing to the guitar stuff.
And his hand starts disappearing.
Angel.
Beta Artemis. According to Beta Artemis in the chat, and I'd have to look this up to verify the quote, but they say that Jeff Ward says that Daisy has no time for romance. And I actually do think I remember hearing that.
Yeah, absolutely.
He would say that, though, to throw you off the scent. Hookup in the season finale.
A lot on her plate. But guys, we're running short on time. Final thoughts on this week's episode.
Okay, there's a moment after Yo-Yo cuts Ruby's neck and Ruby is floating. There was a moment where I thought the antagonist for the rest of the season was going to be a dead blonde girl with the consciousness of Hall controlling the dead blonde girl's body, and I was like, this is going to be awesome. It's like there was a part of me that was like, if it's just like this floating body, just like moving people around with its mind, I was like, this is the coolest thing that's ever happened. I was really bummed when it was just a white explosion of gravity, whatever happened.
There were definitely some eerie moments there.
It was really weird, and I was like, I want this to be an antagonist.
It could be that, like, somebody else later on down the line gets more gravitonium absorbed into them, so we'll see.
I'm sort of hoping that her consciousness found its way into the gravitonium pool.
Oh, okay. Because
we saw that drawing that Robin made where the one person with all the different things. That was straight up graviton in that drawing.
Mm.
With all the different minds inside
and
the person.
And it was more than three.
There were like 12 minds in there, so watch out.
I don't think we're done with it yet.
Maybe Graviton has to save us from the Confederacy.
Maybe.
I think that what we didn't really get to talk about is how not everyone, I as the audience, was very happy with the killing Ruby solution. Like I said, I wanted more, but Daisy and Yo-Yo, there's a conflict because Daisy felt not only was it unnecessary, she's actually upset at Yo-Yo. And they even used the language like, oh, you killed Ruby? And Yo-Yo says, no, I saved the world. Meaning they're seeing it from different angles of what happened.
Well, this is really bad for Yo-Yo, and I would say for Fitz and Simmons too, because that whole thing happened because they went AWOL. Against Daisy's orders. They broke Fitz out of prison to go and do this side mission thinking that they could get one step ahead of everybody else, and then this happened.
And they have no proof that Ruby was going to destroy the world. There's no proof, so she maybe saved the world, she maybe just did nothing.
Well, but that's any of the timeline. They do know that the world is destroyed, so whatever they're trying to do is in to that effect, because they can't just not do anything and be like, sure, well, we don't know what's going to happen.
Well, point being that wherever we're at right now for next week, bad stuff's coming down the way. Yeah. So, guys, I'm afraid we don't really have time for predictions this week.
That's fine.
But, yeah.
We've been predicting all night.
We've been predicting all night, but I think that just about wraps it up. Zach, where can people go if they want to keep up with you?
If you want to keep up with me or vote in that poll, go to at that Zach Wilson on Twitter and Instagram. Right now, 68% say, no, that will end poorly.
I'm going to your Twitter right now. Taron.
68% of people are wrong. My name is Taron, at I am Taron all across the board. And for those of you just tuning in, I am the bathrobe heartthrob at I am Taron. I-A-M-T-H-R-A-N. Other Zach.
You should be at bathrobe.
Hi, I'm not Other Zach. I'm Jesse Arlen Klein. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at JessKlein1. That's J-E-S-S-K-L-E-I-N, the number one. You can also find me doing a podcast called Science AF. That's where me and another comedian, we talk science with real scientists. It gets really fun.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
I'm Megan Salinas. You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at TheMenguin. That's T-H-E-M-E-N-G-U-I-N. I'm also on a bunch of shows here at AfterBuzz. Just follow me on Twitter. You'll be kept up to date. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. We will see you all next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Queek you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.